Hey everybody, this is Matty V coming to you again with another episode of the Fattening of America weekly web show, where I share with you thoughts, ideas, and different things that I've come across on my journeys. Well, as promised, I wasn't going to talk anymore about the New Jersey Comic-Con, so we'll let that to rest. If you want to listen to that, feel free to check out the previous podcast, and you can also access information online at www.mattystribe.wordpress.com. Dealt with a situation this afternoon that kind of irks me a little bit. I'm an insurance advisor by trade. I know I'm probably people's most favorite guy in the world next to lawyers, but anyway. But often what I get is I have people contact me like a day or two before their policies renew and complain about their rates. Now, okay, this is the way it works. If you don't have insurance right now, which I hope you do, the way it works is a company issues renewals approximately 30 days before the renewal date. Okay, now this means you get a copy of your renewal policy 30 days before it's set to begin. Now, 30 days before it's set to begin. Now, what do you do when you get that policy? It's 30 days prior to the effective date. Any rational person might open it up and take a look at it. And if there are any questions, to contact their insurance advisor at that time and say, hey, I noticed the changes to my policy and I wanted to discuss them. But it seems like, for the most part, a lot of people don't do that. They wait until the last second before they have to write that check that they contact their insurance advisor, or me, as it were, to discuss why their rates are so high 2 days to 3 days before their policy is set to renew. And I don't understand this logic. I don't get it. I understand people are busy. People have lives. There's things that they need to do. And oftentimes looking at an insurance renewal is the last thing on their mind. But yet, when it comes to paying bills and paying the premiums, that's when they all of a sudden decide that they want answers. And just a suggestion for you, please, if you could do me the favor, if you do have insurance policies, whether it's a auto, home, motorcycle, whatever, once you get those renewals in the mail, if you could do me a favor, please, take a look at them beforehand. And go through them, take a look at your last six-month policy, and compare the coverages. If the coverage premiums have gone up, then yeah, you certainly need to talk to your insurance advisor to find out why the rates went up. But do that, a few weeks before the renewal date. Don't wait until the last minute, till the last cat's hung, before you call and start complaining about how high your insurance rates are and how so-and-so down the street is paying half of what you are and all this other kind of stuff. That's the other thing I hate, too, is I hate, I don't pay that much for my auto insurance. I pay about half that. Well, you know what? Everybody's insurance situation is different. You know, that person may qualify for discounts that you don't. They may have different vehicles than you. They may have different coverages. They may have different coverage limits. They may be paying half, but their limits of liability may be lower than yours. They may not have physical damage on their vehicles. And you may require physical damage. Maybe you have a loan on your vehicle and you have to have full coverage. But, I just hate that. Well, you know, I pay half of that, and that seems outrageous to me. Or the other one that I love, I love this one, too. I love people calling and saying, well, you know, I just got my tax bill, and, you know, it says that my house is worth such and such. And my insurance coverage on my house is, you know, three times that. And I don't understand this. I need to lower this down to what this is. And we have to explain to them that the market value of your home, the taxable value of your home. Here in Michigan, we have the state equalized value. All of those values don't have anything to do with homeowners insurance whatsoever. A good insurance advisor will help you determine what it would cost to rebuild your home in case of a total loss. So if you have a fire that burns your house completely to the ground, this is what it's going to cost today to rebuild it. Doesn't matter what you paid for it. I mean, I've had insureds buy $250,000, $300,000 houses for $150,000 for about, you know, often half the value of, you know, half the replacement cost value. That does not matter. What we're talking about is what it would cost to haul away all the old debris and rebuild it today at today's construction costs. All right, we're talking about like kind quality. You know, if you had two full bathrooms, well, we're going to make sure you get two full bathrooms. If you had a 200 square foot deck off the back, we're going to make sure you had a 200 square foot deck off the back. If your home was a brick home and not a wood frame home, we're going to make sure that you get a brick home. If you had a finished basement, we're going to make sure that the basement is finished. So people don't understand that. They're only looking at the market or taxable value of their home and thinking they're getting ripped off by the insurance company. That's not the case whatsoever. So yeah, I really love that when people call me and say, well, my house isn't worth that. Well, yeah, it is. If we're talking about rebuilding it today. And I've had people come to me and say, well, I could build my house for less than that. Well, I highly doubt it. You could probably get, you know, if you had the time, okay, if you had the time to go out and build a house from scratch, I'm sure you could get several bids. You could choose the materials, get discounts on materials, all that kind of stuff, okay? And yeah, I agree, you could probably build your house for less than what it's insured for, okay? But we're talking about, let's say, in the middle of winter, your house burns down. Are you really going to sit there and sift through bid after bid after bid? Are you going to sit there and scout out for discounts on materials and whatnot to rebuild your house? Are you willing to do that? Odds are, no. Once your house burns down, you're going to want it rebuilt almost immediately. And you're going to, and builder's going to come back and say, hey, insurance company's paying for it. We don't need to give a discount. This is what it's going to cost to rebuild it. And that's that. Take it or leave it. So when it comes down to it, you got to look at that factor. You know, what is my house, what is it going to cost to rebuild my house today, and how long is it going to take to do it? So yeah, it was, I tell you, I really love questions like that. I had a situation where somebody, this is the other thing I love too, is brought up in Proverbs. There is a proverb saying, don't begin to build a tower before you first calculate what it's going to cost, because if you start building it and you run out of money, you're going to look like a fool or something like that. It's I'm paraphrasing, so forgive me. I don't have my Bible right in front of me, so I can look up that particular verse. But I had I had somebody come through and say they were building a house, and that's fine. We've done buildings under construction before, but this house has been 3 years in the making. Broke ground in 2010, and here it is 2013, and the home's still not done. Of course, I don't have a market for dwelling under construction that's been under construction for 3 years. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to help this person. It just, that situation brought up to mind that proverb, you know, counting the cost as far as making sure that you have the money to build it. And these people apparently were working as general contractors, probably have no background in construction whatsoever. Neither of them. Now that I think of it, neither of them have any background in construction. Other than I would imagine a shade tree construction, you know, building a shed out back or, you know, doing minor repairs around the house. But they decided to be a general contractor on building their dream home. And I'm sure after 3 years they're finding out that this was not a good idea. The savings versus taking so long to build this house, I'm sure it probably wasn't in their initial plans. But I get stuff like that all the time. Being an insurance advisor, I deal with different stuff every day. But that's just some of the stuff that really irks me. The people that complain about their premium 2 days before it's due, the people that complain about their insurance coverage itself, that they're being insured, their insurance costs are too high. It's just one of those nutty things. What can I tell you? It's the joys of being an insurance advisor. Well, I hope it didn't bore you at all today with my little rant on things that I hate when it comes to being an insurance advisor. Hey, go read something on my blog. You can go to my blog. It's www.mattystribe, MattyStribe .wordpress.com. You could also go to my website. I haven't messed with that website in a while, so it's probably got some old information on there. I should go over there and update it. You could go to www.iweighedmorethanjared.com. Learn a little bit more about me and stuff on you know, on my journey. I put my journey on pause for a period of time, and I'm just now starting to get back into the swing of things. Both I put it on hold, and life put it on hold for me because of my auto accident. And here we are coming up. This week is going to be 6 months since my auto accident, if you can believe it. I am alive. I am walking. Not to where I want to be, but hey, I'm walking. So it's definitely a blessing in disguise. So until next time, this is Matty V saying we will catch you on another episode of the Fattening of America weekly podcast.